We're live.
Block Talk Radio.
All right, Larry, let us know how you feel about tonight. What do you feel about the Knicks this week? Give us your thoughts.
I feel like we're not live and you're just doing a test right now.
This is just a little rookie hazing, you know.
I'm so glad I didn't go off on a whole spiel right now.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You have the chat open?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
No, I don't have the chat open.
All right. That's fine. You don't need it. You can just use the Zoom. That's fine.
Okay. Where would you have the chat open? Like, go on your actual channel?
Yeah, you don't need it, though. It's all right. Let me swap you guys out right now. See if that works. No. There we go. Okay. Okay. All right. So we'll do a weekly recap. Talk about the power rankings, play of the week. No, weekly recap, play of the week, power rankings, and then look at the week ahead. All right, cool.
All right.
All right. Okay.
My phone was about to die. I was trying to meet up with more people after the game.
Oh, all right.
Shit was on 2%. And I was like, did I really do that much recording?
Yeah, you got to carry a power pack with you.
Yeah, I'm so used to not doing that.
Yeah. All right, let me make sure I'm good here.
I had this, like, old lady sit next to me. She was, like, giving me glares because she's, like, old school Boston.
Oh,
she had,
uh-huh.
Like, she had to be, like, 70 years old. She had tattoos run up and down her neck.
Yeah.
And every time I was cheering, she was just, like, looking like this. And I was just, like, looking straight ahead. I'm just, like, not doing this today. Not doing this today.
She's the wrong one.
She is the wrong one. She got up, like, when the Celtics were up. Like during the third quarter, she had to go to the rest, whatever. So she's like, "Excuse me, I got to pass." And then when it was tied in the fourth quarter, she was like, "Is she could just tell the Knicks were about to win." She like left before the fourth quarter even ended. She's like, "Enjoy the rest of your night." And it was like, "Okay, lady, have a good one."
I like how she still had to be like old lady friendly and tell you to enjoy your night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she was just staring at us because we were, like, the only Knicks fans, like, in our row. It was hilarious.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Damn.
I love that one.
Yeah. You went out after?
Nah, I came back because I went with my wife's best friend's father.
Okay.
So he's, like, 75 years old. He's an OG. He saw the original, like, championship. So he had to get back. So I was like, all right, I'll get you. I'll make sure you get home.
Yeah, I'll make sure you get home.
I'll make sure you get home. You know, 75, that type of spiel. We're taking the subway.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's fair then. You really had to make sure he got home.
Yeah. Because it gets rowdy on the subway. On that T, it gets super rowdy.
I haven't been on the train in a long time, but I do remember. I mean, after any game, I feel like it's going to be like that, right?
Yeah, it was. I didn't even realize how crazy it was. Like just trying to get to a bar because like they're all right around there. There's like a line for everything.
Yeah,
just a stupid line for everything.
Why is it? Why this shit?
Try to get in there like 5:30. It was like I was waiting in line for 20 minutes just to be sitting at the bar.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, was this what that was? This was inside.
This is at the bar I went to just trying to meet up with people.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a line outside. I had to wait 20 minutes just to go sit at the bar.
Wow.
A Knicks game drew that much attention. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. So it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Love it.
All right. Ready to roll?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Recording in progress.
All right. Let's check. Making a debut. All right. Here we go. Where's my music at? Okay, here we go. All right. check, 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 check. Maria, just give me a mic check real quick.
Check, check, check. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
All right, good. All right. Okay. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Monday night. To everybody except for Grant Williams, this is another edition of Knicks Weekly presented by Manscaped. Episode number 50, the Big 5-0, man. And the Knicks go 4-0 on the week. An impressive week. So we're going to recap the week that was for the Orange and Blue. Take a look at the week ahead. A couple of players of the week honors to go around. And, yeah, man, take your phone calls on all of it, man. 657-383-1509. Or you can hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. CP the Franchise, Alex Trataros, JD's on load management. So we got the Knicks chick in the building, Maria Caro, joining us tonight, man. So lock in, hit that thumbs up button for your squad, and let's have a great show, man. Once again, Knicks Weekly, episode 50, presented by Manscaped.
You can hit us up.
All right. Oh, who's, oh, man. Is that you, Alex, or is that you, Marie?
Alex Trataros.
Hang on. Is that you, Al?
No, sir. I was always on mute.
I think that was you, man. I think you're on a Boston hangover, man.
Get out of here. Get out of here, all right? I'm still happy, excited. I'm still riding the rocket out into space. Okay, we're passing the moon. We're passing Mars.
That was either Jupiter or the rookie. Somebody had their audio on in the background and made a quick adjustment.
Or was it the seasoned vet?
No.
You know what? Yep.
No. No.
Looking for somebody to blame.
No. Not me at all, man. Anyway, how's everybody's weekend, man? How's your weekend, man?
That was my weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the double OT in person, got to see the Knicks defeat the Boston Celtics, you know?
Yeah.
So that's always a great time.
And made it home to tell the story.
Still living half of it. Made it home to tell the tale, man.
Yeah.
People don't like me, man. I'll tell you this right now. I was just telling both of you backstage. I was sitting next to an old lady. She's probably in her 70s. You know what I mean? So she saw me cheering, you know, me and my guy Ruben, OG, saw the 70s championship winning team.
Yeah.
And we're just cheering. We're the only Knicks fans in that row. And she's looking at us like every time we cheered, every time we're up, she was giving us, you know, just little glares, man. But every time the Celtics were up, she was doing like going back and forth, pumping her fist. She left early, though. She left early. She knew they were about to lose, so it was okay. She left early. Oh. She left in the fourth quarter, you know. Not like a real fan who would stay until the brutal end.
Yeah. Damn. That's rough, man. Maria, how about you? How'd your weekend go?
I'm on cloud nine, pun very much intended, definitely on cloud nine, and happy to be here for your 50th Knicks Weekly, hoping I could fill in like IQ filled in for Brunson.
Yes, absolutely, man. Great week for the Knicks. Got to watch some UFC on Saturday. Shout out my guy Bones Jones, John Jones, the heavyweight champion of the world. In short order,
instant
but
knockout.
Yeah, instant tap out. But got the job done. It was a decent UFC card and got some Knicks wins, man. But on to these Knicks, man, 4-0 on the week. For me, I'm not sure if there's been a more impressive week that I've seen from this team in a little while, right? I mean, like earlier in the season when they went on the West Coast trip and they had those impressive wins in Utah and Denver, and it was still early in the season, so you didn't really know who those teams were. Denver was without Jokic. You know, Utah was, yeah, they were hot at the time, but they weren't really a real team. But this stretch was a big test for the Knicks. They were going up against some formidable teams in the East, teams that are right now in the playoff hunt. And the Knicks were the hunted, at least when, you know, you look at the matchups against the Heat and the Nets. And they start off the week, they handle the Celtics, they handle the Nets. You have the Julius Randle buzzer beater against the Heat, and then the double OT thriller against the Celtics to close out the week. And it's very difficult to beat the same team twice in 1 week. And so to do it without their best player on the road, I thought that was impressive, and it capped off a very impressive week for this team, a week that saw this team in the top three in a lot of offensive statistics, man. Offensive rating, they're top five offense right now in the league. They're getting it done from three. You know, Julius, IQ, Brunson doing their thing. It was a good week, man. Solid week for this team. Maria, give me your thoughts on the week. What'd you think about it?
You talked about how highly we ranked in a lot of the offensive ratings, but I think that our defense actually catapulted that. So I feel like our hustle, we are back to the defensive grit that, you know, we were known for. So for everybody that was calling for Tibbs' head, it's showing that the consistency, the persistence, it's paid off. Like, they've stuck to it. Josh Hart has come on and been added as that glue guy for us. Mitchell Robinson being back is a huge deal for us. And I think that their hustling on defense has led to so many offensive opportunities for us. So I think that they go hand in hand. I'm not shocked that we're so high in offensive rankings, but it definitely comes from the energy that we set off on the defensive end.
Yeah, Al, how about you, man?
I think you both knocked it out of the park with it. It's defense, it's offense. But I think the thing, too, is the camaraderie, right, that you see this team is just playing for one another. And you just seeing a team that's able to fight when either someone's missing, like you didn't have Jalen Brunson yesterday. You didn't have Mitch during the first time they beat the Celtics, or the second time, I should say, when they faced the Celtics and they beat them, even against the Cavs. This team is a next man up mentality, you know, and they're getting hot at the right time. And I think you see the NBA starting to take a little bit of notice, right? Finally, yeah. Giving some recognition.
Yeah.
But CP, Maria, I know you're both the Giants fans.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know you both remember when the Giants got hot at the right time and what happens, right? I'm not saying championships, but you got to get hot at the right time to make some noise.
Yep. I love that comparison. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
She would love that one. She is definitely Captain Optimist.
Wait. Yeah, and the last thing about that team, right, especially the first time, weren't they Road Warriors?
Yes.
Mm.
Definitely.
What about this Knicks team?
This Knicks team is one of the best road teams in the league, in the whole league, sir.
I'm just saying. For all you Giants fans out there, you know I'm a Jets fan. I'm giving you something to chew on for a little bit.
Yeah.
I love these parallels. Love it.
Nah, you're definitely on to something. You know, obviously, another thing with the Boston win is this team was down by as much as 14 points on the road, as you said. And without Brunson, without their floor general, IQ and Julius really put that team on their back, especially offensively. And RJ, give credit because, RJ's 29-11 on an efficient shooting night was almost overshadowed by IQ's brilliance and Julius down the stretch. But I thought RJ having a bounce back game was much needed for this team as well. You know, got back to his strengths, got to the basket. He finished well, was very efficient from the floor. Found some timely assists. You know, you still want to see him playmaking a little bit better, but I thought RJ had another solid game yesterday against the Celtics. Knicks now one game in back of the Cavs for fourth place. And I opened the show with saying happy Monday to everybody except for Grant Williams, because all he needed to do was sink two free throws, and the Celtics would have beaten the Cavs tonight in Cleveland, and we would have had even more to talk about. But he missed both. He choked, and the Cavs ended up winning in overtime, man.
Or he did it out of spite.
Or he did it out of spite.
I like that one.
You know?
or he did it out of spite.
I'm thinking that old lady sitting next to Alex was like, you better not.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to wait, you know, to see if we can catch the Cavs right now. We're still one game back in terms of the standings, but it's right there. It's right there for the taking, man. I think this team is going to get there. 16 games left. They have their last matchup against the Cavs in Cleveland on March 31st. That's obviously going to be a game of the week, but I think they can get there, man. This is the hottest team in the league right now. And Marie, what do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think that we are, like Alex was talking about before, we're rolling at the right time. Like, we started off slow. We figured things out. We added a piece that we desperately needed to add. We've gotten healthy. I would much rather be rolling now than in the beginning of the season. So I think we're on the right track. We're only climbing up. Other teams are tumbling in the standings. Yeah, I think that we definitely take that 4 seed at the very least.
Yeah, what about you, man?
I'm thinking the same. I mean, at this point, you know, I mean, I'm not even convinced by that Cavs win against the Celtics. I mean, they were down. I don't think the Knicks are that far off from where the Cavs are. When you start, obviously, the Bucks are a different story. Can you push the Celtics and the Sixers if you get into the playoffs, right? But the Cavs aren't that far. So I'm pretty confident the Knicks can get to the fourth. I guess it depends on – I know Tibbs is all about winning, but are you also going to be like what the Celtics may be doing right now? Like, do we want to not face the Knicks? Should we just lose this game, you know, and start thinking about positioning? So that's the other cog in this whole thought process of where do the Knicks want to land in this entire thing? Do they want to be, you know, do they want to stick to their road guns and just say, you know, we're fine on the road? Do they want to get home court advantage? That's the stuff that I'm wondering about for this team right now.
Yeah, true story, man. And I got the Tankathon pulled up. And this time for a different reason, you know, usually around this time of year, we're looking at a different page.
It should be for both reasons, honestly, because I'm watching the Mavs, I'm watching the Wizards.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Let's definitely talk about that. But if we look at the strength of schedule, and these things change, right? A couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago, Knicks had the hardest schedule for the second half. Now they're down to 23rd. You know, Cavs are last, right? So Cavs, according to this, have the easiest schedule remaining. Their toughest matchups left are with the Sixers, the Knicks, two against the Nets, which isn't even that tough, and then two against the Heat. And then, obviously, they got some against some of the bottom feeders of the league. For the Knicks, we have Denver at home. We have that matchup with the Cavs. The Kings on Thursday, which to me is going to be my game of the week. Two more against the Heat. Timberwolves, that's whatever. And then the Clippers. So 16 games left for the Knicks, 15 for the Cavs. Let's see what happens, man. But you can't go off of these strength of schedule things. You got to play the games. You know what I mean? You got to play the games. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's right there for us, man. And we have already won. How many did we win against the Cavs this year already?
Two.
We won two against the Cavs already. And they won that one in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beginning of the year.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, you factor in tiebreaker. That March 31st game is going to be critical on many levels, whether it's tiebreaker or to advance in the seeding. So you want to try to win that series rather than tie.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a tie, man. I'm looking for a win.
Yeah.
Especially with all the nonsense of like, oh, well, they got ahead Donovan Mitchell. It's like, yeah, we're rolling right now. Can we talk about how we're actually rolling and why we're rolling and not this trade that happened months ago and the Knicks are not that far behind? Like, just need to kill that storyline.
Right. Yeah, I want to match up with them because I think we can easily take them, but I almost don't because I'm so sick of hearing it. It's like, let's just move on.
Yeah. That's the thing. You get into a playoff series with them. That's the key storylines of that series. But, you know, from a matchup standpoint, that's definitely where we want to be. And then, Al, you mentioned that Dallas pick, which is top 10 protected right now. That's 17th in the draft right now, man. Looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good. So the Knicks have a chance to not only have a good postseason, a Cinderella postseason, but then finish off the season with a top 20 pick in the draft.
And if you get the Wizards, because they're right now on the play-in, man.
Yeah.
You never know what could happen. If they somehow make it to that last eighth spot, you get two picks this season.
Yeah.
Two picks after trading your own.
Two picks.
Right now they're projected to be the eighth pick in the lottery.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't convey because it's top 14 protected, but I'm just praying for some stupid reason they get the eighth seed.
Look, you never know, man. Anything's possible, but then
anything can happen. And that whole little bottom four that all sucks equally, anything can happen down there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I mean, I think looking at IQ last night. It's just another stamp on this team's ability to draft talent late in the draft.
Well, we consistently draft better later than earlier.
Right. So, yeah. You know, you're looking at possibly 17th pick. That's a good sign. I think that's a good sign. This week, I thought this week was a good week for the Rose regime, just in terms of, you know, obviously the Brunson signing was major. That was their biggest acquisition and their best. The Hart trade was another one. But seeing IQ kind of take that next step in his third year, you know, development's not linear. But for Quickly, he's come along. I thought he had a good rookie year. Last year, it seems like he was kind of stuck in the in-between trying to figure out his role with the team. And this year, he's just skyrocketed. So I thought that that's good for the Rose regime to kind of bounce back from last year, right? Because last year, with the signings of Fournier, signings of Kemba, trying to improve the team over the year before that, it flopped. I mean, it was a monumental failure. Anyway, you slice the team won 37 games. They're at 39 right now. So they surpassed that. And this team is looking good. And the acquisitions are looking good. I think the Rose regime is on an uptick right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we got an article by Luke, KFTV Luke, who does the stock exchange every twice a month. The next issue that's coming out this week will be about the front office and his grade about the past three seasons. So talk about, you know, good segue for that article. But make sure to check out KnicksFanTV.com when that drops later this week. But you also got to consider that for all the animosity that Randall got last season, all the trading him away talks, they gave him an extension and two-time All-Star, playing at an all-NBA level once again, you know, was clutch against the Miami Heat, critical in most of these matchups.
Uh-huh.
That extension is looking good right now. You can't even complain about it.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be without Jalen.
It would not be without Jalen, no.
Had they not had that move, that extension would, we don't know what that would have looked like because, again, Jalen completes this team. So without him, I don't know that Julius plays to the level he's playing at. We saw a little bit of that yesterday, but we're not going to get on him because I know he's a player of the week.
yeah, we're not going to get on him. We're not going to get on him for that because we're missing the floor general. So, you know, it was just one of those things. But as you mentioned, Julius Randle, ladies and gentlemen, has been named by the NBA as this week's Eastern Conference Player of the Week, 29.5 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, 4 assists, and there 5 assists per game, 52% shooting from the field, and 46% from downtown, man. You know, just you got to be ecstatic just the way Julius has bounced back and the way he's playing.
Obviously. Yeah, when I was watching some of the threes he knocked down the past couple of games, I'm like, I would much rather these than the All-Star threes.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the way he laid a goose egg at All-Star. But
we'll take him.
When it counts. Yeah.
We'll take it, man. And yes, you know, the Celtics game, it was a little bit tough on the pressure, but go back to the Heat game. And he won that game, not just with that buzzer beater three or close to buzzer beater three, the game winner three, but the play before that, when he scored over Bam with the and one, I mean, that shot was incredible.
Yeah, that was tough.
You know, his arsenal is just, it's just been extremely impressive. And as you said, Maria, just with Brunson there kind of taking the pressure off of him, Julius doesn't have to do everything that he needed to do 2 years ago when he won the most improved player. Like, he had to be the point guard on that team as well. So he can kind of just settle into his groove and just focus on offense, and it's working.
Sometimes less is more, right?
Yeah.
You give it, take away.
Yeah. Less dribbling is definitely more.
That too. Could have done a little bit more, less than that against Miami and against the Celtics, especially in the late portion of the game. But you just see where Brunson just takes on that playmaking, that facilitating. And just having another shot creator out there too makes the game that much easier. When you have to figure out that who you're going to double team or triple team, you know, if you've got a double team Brunson, that means Julius is going to have a mismatch. And if it's vice versa. So all of that, just to say that you need to add more talent on this team. And now you have Quickly who's starting to look good. Now you got to start thinking, like, you know, after this game and seeing how he's performed even earlier when it was against like the Spurs, where you saw him perform against the Mavs, right? Even against the Rockets and the Suns, whether you're missing RJ or Brunson, that's another guy you got to worry about saying, how are we going to defend this guy off the bench? That's another guy you got to think about doubling now. And if you're going to have him, Brunson, and Randle on the court, especially in crunch time, That's going to be a problem for opponents. So I like it.
And how do you keep up with IQ's energy? Like, if I'm any other team out there, I'm
good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you, he's hard to keep up with. He's blocking shots yesterday. I mean, he's, you know, he's deflecting the other team's plays. He's creating plays. He's knocking down shots. He's doing absolutely everything. And then celebrating while doing it, which makes us so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and I love that he did it in a win. I'm like, thank God we won. But you can almost tell he looked like he wants to win more than anybody else out on the court. And he willed us to it. I feel like yesterday he completely willed us to that win.
Yeah, we played 55 minutes in that game last night. 55 minutes. And maybe it's recency bias, Maria and Alex, but even though Julius won the NBA's Player of the Week, the fans of Knicks Fan TV, the great fans of Knicks Fan TV, have voted for Emmanuel Quickley as the Player of the Week. And so maybe it's recency bias. Maybe it's because last night's win or Sunday night's win against the Celtics was arguably the best win of the season. Quickley's career high and, you know, the heroics that he displayed in that game. I think he deserved that. I thought Quick had a good week as well, man. I thought he had a good week. Definitely much deserved.
For sure. And I just like that we got to think that it's recency bias, because this past week for Quick has been – he's been on one, okay? It's not – Randall had a great week. I'm not taking that away from Randall. But, like, if you go through Quickley's stat line this entire week
– yeah.
Like, let me just read the totals of, like, of his production this week. He had 97 points. Through these four games, he had 97 points. He shot 55% from the field, 49% from three. He's knocking down 79% of his free throws, right? He had 16 rebounds, 14 assists. He had four turnovers through four games, seven steals, two blocks. All right?
Yep.
All right, and we're talking about Randall, who had 118 points. He shot – no, sorry. Was, yeah, 118 points. Randall shot 53% from the field, 47% from three, shooting 73% from the free throw line, got you 33 rebounds, 19 assists, you know, had 15 turnovers, one steal, one block. But if you talk about minute totals, 153 minutes for Randall this entire week, 130 for IQ. The fact that IQ is doing that in less, that's what sticks out to me. So I don't think it's that far to say it's not recency bias. Yeah, the Celtic game put it over the top because we didn't have Brunson. He was on one, you know, seven straight points in double overtime. Mm-hmm. In the second overtime, seven straight points.
Mm.
And he's still jumping around, as Maria's talking about, like, just get, like, cheering around and everything. You're like, okay, this guy has a motor. So I think it's not recency bias. He's just a highly productive player. And on top of that, even though you have the numbers, he's a two-way player. Like, his defense does not show up in the stat sheet. So I don't think it's far to say that he could be player of the week. You know, like, for NBA purposes, they're going to give it usually to a starter. Mm-hmm. Randall had some a big, big shot against Miami. But he's usually a starter that you're going to see, for the most part, get those things, especially if you're playing a lot of minutes. IQ's not that far, and it's not recency bias for him to get player of the week, in my opinion.
I agree. Although I'll give him sixth man of the year instead of player of the week, if we can do that. But
oh, yeah, that'd be great.
But he definitely deserves – I can see why fans would vote for him. Obviously, Julius has been consistently great, minus the turnovers, but he's putting up numbers that we've come to expect now, right? So I feel like we used to expect him to mess up a lot and to have those turnovers. Now we're just expecting these monster board numbers, these monster plays, and just kind of bullying people in the paint as well as knocking down his threes. So, you know, he's doing what we expect of him. IQ is doing it, like you said, in a shorter amount of time. So it feels more impactful. It feels like every second he's on the floor, he's doing something positive.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's both ends of the floor, and that's very visible.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like, you know, 16 games left going into the playoffs, Quick's going to be closing a lot of games.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be closing a lot of games because of the defense, because of his playmaking skills. And now that the way that he's shooting the ball, you need him to close.
Yeah.
You're going to need him to close. Because he's a guy that he's going to be able to keep the offense flowing. He'll get you some easy buckets, and he's shooting the ball the way that you expected him to when you drafted him as a rookie, man. Quick, he's playing phenomenal basketball right now. Phenomenal basketball. And it's great. You know, for a kid that's coming into his second contract, this is a great time for him right now. You got to be happy for him.
Yeah.
I hope they extend him.
No, absolutely.
I hope he wants to stay, though, because he's going to want to start, right? He's going to want to start in this league, and I just hope that he takes kind of money over that position, which you would think most people would, but he seems like he wants to lead a team, and he wants that time, right? But like you just said, he should be closing these games. To me, that's equally as important as being a starter.
Right.
So if he can take that position, but I think it's going to be a lot up to him. I feel like they're going to offer him an extension, but are they, you know, there's no space for him to start on this team right now, unfortunately. Like, is he playing like one? Yeah. But the importance that he has as our sixth man leading that unit with the energy and grit and the defensive example that he is, that's why we're playing the way we are, because no team can see our unit, our bench. Who's like, who wants to see our bench? Nobody. We're back to what we were before.
Yeah.
Where our bench unit is scary.
True story, especially when you factor in Josh Hart into the mix. But you know, it's like I said yesterday, in terms of being sixth man, there's so many like players in NBA history that have been formidable sixth men that close, you know, games. Manu Ginobili, Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams. So I think Quick is going to fall right into that category where they will pay him. They will find a good middle ground where, no, it's not starter level money, but he'll definitely be rewarded, and he's going to play. This is a Thibodeau guy, and he showed it since his rookie year. Tibbs wants Quick in there, man, and he's going to get that time.
For a coach who's not known for starting or giving rookies a lot of minutes, IQ was there getting 22 minutes his rookie season.
20 minutes his rookie season.
And I think you put it on post game last night where, like, Tibbs says, Quick's my guy, right? I know it's a joke, but he's been giving praise to Emmanuel Quickly for so long throughout his entire career that I don't see how Tibbs would want him gone. But I also see the team, like, what was it? There was the report that Wes was a big advocate for drafting Emmanuel Quickly too. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them trying to figure out what that middle ground is as you're talking about, CP. But even still, like, you always mention, got to pay to play. This team, not everyone's going to be on this team, so we don't know what the future is for this. Like, this may not be the roster right now as we're talking about it for the next upcoming years, but I think you could sell to Quickly that you're part of something bigger.
Yeah, and you just winning never know.
Not, yeah, winning is not easy in this league.
It sounds good to us, though. I don't know.
It sounds good to us.
You know what I mean? Like, that's right. If the fans could, like, write him a letter, that's what we would say. It sounds good to do, right? It's like, do it for the team.
Do it
sacrifice.
For the team.
Like, we got a good thing going here, but, you know.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, and when you see yourself as a starter in this league, that's the role that you want to play. But maybe he'll read our letter and...
maybe he's tuning into KFTV right now and saying,
right.
Hey. It all sounds great, but, you know, I need that cash. I want to start.
Right.
Maybe.
Give him the cash. Give him the money. We have the money. Pay that man.
Don't go into the luxury tax.
No, they got to take care of him. They definitely got to take care of him. And as you said, Al, you just never know what the roster is going to look like next year, year after that. He may end up starting in the long run. You just never know, you know. It's very early, but I think based on
– for who?
You just never know. Like, what I'm saying is this. Based off of how this team is playing right now, they're on an upward trajectory. They're going to make the playoffs. Once they are done, right, once they finish winning the championship, they're going to look and evaluate the roster and say, okay, how can we win more? What do we need
to
do?
We're going to win a championship this year. So what do you mean? How can we win more championships? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. How do we build a dynasty? All right.
You keep the roster the same.
Now CP's talking about championships.
You keep the roster,
about the winner. Listen.
You hold the roster that took you to the first championship.
No, because she's capped in my optimism. I say that facetiously.
What's the point of being a fan if you're not? Like, if you can't hold on to 99, what is the point?
Well,
why do we do this?
You're one of the many who have jumped out the window with this team. So
long time ago.
They're trying to get
there
me to jump.
That's what I'm talking about.
They've been trying to get me to jump. People have been DMing me. They're at me on the gram. They're trying to get me to jump.
Yeah, we're still waiting for you to stop picking opposing players on Prize Picks. We're nowhere close to you jumping out the window. We're still waiting for you to remember your nickname.
That's just business.
Oh, brother.
Look, how am I not going to pick Jason Tatum last night
to
go over to do more than 41.5 points, rebounds, and assists? To me, that was a slam dunk, and he finished with 53.
I got 5 out of 5 yesterday picking nobody from the Celtics. I hit 5 out of 5. 4 Knicks players plus Kawhi, so it's doable.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you, squad. I'm getting aired out on my own show. Support our sponsors. Go to prizefix.com. Use promo code KFTB for an instant deposit match of up to $100. Call us up, man. Call us up with your takes on this week, 657-383-1509, or hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. Definitely want to shout out to all of the channel members in the building. I see Young Kobe in the chat. Jorge Lopez, how you feeling? TM, what's good? Always in here. Andrew H, JJ. Shout out to Brandon Guest. Shout out to Malcavelli S. He's also a channel member. Marco Stoyanov, checking in from Romania, man. Marco, how you feeling? Yeah, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Guys, in case you missed it, you both missed it, but last night was a milestone night for Knicks Fan TV. Not only did we cross the 60,000 subscriber mark, we also hit a record. We broke the record for most live viewers for the Knicks Fan TV live stream with 5,970.
I knew it. Congratulations.
It was pandemonium. A lot of window jumpers. I had to control things as a conductor, but it was pandemonium.
Oh, my God.
No, don't control things. No, let it all go.
I did. I let it flow. It's a lot of champagne.
George Carlin and Thomas the Tank Engine. They act like a conductor over here. Give me a break.
Yeah, man. 5,970. So definitely salute to everybody who tuned in, who's been supporting. We got to do a giveaway, man. We got to figure out the giveaway, Maria, for 60K. Yeah.
That's right. Aren't you printing new T-shirts?
T-shirts are being made. Hats are being restocked. We sold a lot of hats lately. A lot of snaps. Go ahead and get your snaps at KnicksFanTV.com/shop. A lot of dad hats going off the shelf as well. So it's
love
a good time.
Hats. I didn't know you had those yet. Do you have the link to the show underneath there?
Yeah, the link to the dad hats are underneath the video. And
my mom just bought a dad hat, by the way.
She did? No way.
She bought a KFTV dad hat.
There you go.
In pink.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, we do have some. We do have the pink ones for the ladies, man. We do have the pink ones. Or whatever you're into. But we have white, navy, pink in the dad hats as well. And then we'll re-up on the New Era snaps. New Era. Al, you got your sticker on, right? There you go.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
We're not going to.
That's a seal of approval, man. So that's how that's going.
Big pet peeve of mine. It's supposed to come off when you buy the hat.
It's the gold seal. AP in the chat is about to cop a snap. No doubt, man. Shout out to Young Kobe. $5 super chat says the city's about to erupt. Yeah, man. It's going to be a great next few months. Definitely looking forward to it. Kobe was there with us at 40-40, so I'm expecting him to be there when we make the playoffs and make that do the playoff event. So certainly looking forward to that. Let's go to the phones. Area code. I see two people from 516, so I'm going to go 236. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Michael from Long Island, New York.
Michael, how you feeling, bro?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you. I'm really excited about this team, man. I haven't felt like this for a while, you know, being a Knicks fan. And I just wanted to say, like, how many more pieces do you think the Knicks need to win a championship? Like, what else do they need? Like, because this team looks like they're legit, man. I mean, I've never seen this since the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very, very exciting time to be a Knicks fan. I haven't, like, felt this way about this team in, I don't know, like 25 years. I mean, this is a very exciting time. And I was just wondering, what do you think they need? Like, I think they need, like, one more big superstar.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate the call, and it's a perfect segue because Knicks are getting a lot of love out there this week in the power rankings, Al and Maria. A lot of love right now. The Athletic, both The Athletic and NBA.com have placed the Knicks in fifth in power rankings.
Look at that.
Place. They this is NBA.com. They have the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Knicks.
Wow.
And the Knicks. The question is, and we're going to get to Michael's question about what, you know, what do they need. But the question is, as of right now, this team is more than just a top 10 team in the league. They listed as a top 5 team in the league. Are they for real? Can the Knicks be a true contender this year? Al, I'll start with you.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I mean, the matchups, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. But this team's competitive, man. The way they've been they're like being battle tested right now. Missing Brunson, they missed RJ. Kevin Quickly step up. Now you got Josh Hart on this team. I mean, while I was at the game, I was watching Tatum. I was like, I kept periodically checking the box score throughout the game, and the fact that Tatum ended with out of 30 field goal attempts, 17 of them were threes, and Josh Hart was on him. He didn't want to drive.
No,
when Josh Hart was on him,
no,
he did not. So when you start seeing the physicality that Josh brings to this team, and you just look at everybody else, whether it's Grimes, even RJ was doing a pretty good job defending yesterday in that game. When you just look at the physicality of this team, no one's going to want to face the Knicks. And then when you have to battle against Brunson, Randall, you know, and then you have Quickly off the bench, that's tough, man. That's tough. It's a deep team. So I could see them making a good little run. I could see it. I mean, look, they've had the Nuggets that high before too, and they've made it to, I think, the Western Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
Like, power rankings aren't the end-all, be-all and where they, if they go to the championship or not, but I think they can make some noise.
Mario,
seems gritty.
What say you?
Yeah, I think when you look at those teams that are in the top, both in the power rankings and just looking at the Eastern Conference, Western Conference top teams right now, we beat them all except for the Bucks.
Yeah.
And the Grizzlies. So to me, yeah, like Alex said, we're a deep team. Again, when you have a bench as good as we have, and I feel like Hart and Quickly are of the same mentality. Another thing I like about Hart is I feel like he brings that same kind of composure that Jalen Brunson does.
Yeah.
Where there was a lot of times in that Boston game that I wanted him to step up more, that I really wanted him to take a shot. But instead, it was almost like he was deferring to Randall, like he knew it was his team today, like he didn't want to overstep yet. But I think that we could have closed that game out a little bit more quickly if he had been a little more aggressive. But when it counted, he knocked down that big three easily. And I feel like that's him and Brunson have that composure, that coolness about them, that calmness about them. So, that adds to the depth of our bench, which nobody wants to see. The only problem I see is, you know, what are we doing against Giannis, right? So that's my issue. Mm-hmm. I think that our defensive tenacity, our offensive efficiency right now, nobody wants to see us except Giannis is probably laughing about it, right? But, again, anything is possible. If you try to make him be the one to beat you and you play solid defense against everybody else, you know, I think that we have time to game plan towards that.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, offensively, this is the best team that Tibbs has had offensively. 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, they were 22nd in offense. They were 22nd in offensive rating, but they were number 4 in defense. Their defense was good, but that team really made it because they hustled every night. They played hard every night, and Julius was just playing out of his mind. And on top of that, they were shooting the three ball fairly well. You had a lot of guys shooting close to 40% from three, including RJ, Burks, Bullock, and the like. And then, you know, Rose coming in there gave them another shot creator to kind of make things happen. But this year, you're getting so much contributions. It's obviously it's Jalen and Julius, right? You have your two all-stars there. Now what Quickly is doing is such a plus. You combine that with like what you said with Josh Hart, who doesn't necessarily need to score to be an impact because of his ability to grab boards, because of his ability to be a one-man fast break, his ability to defend, just do the dirty work, you know, just be that lunch pail guy and do the dirty work. They're getting a lot of contributions from different players, man. But over this 9-game streak, they've been an efficient shooting team. And that is what you truly need to be a contender. There was a study that was out there that looked at like the commonalities between like the last 20 teams that made it to the finals, and one of them was that they were like top 10 in the league in like effective field goal percentage. Mm. Right, effective field goal percentage, it'll consider your twos, and it'll multiply the threes by 0.5, so it kind of magnifies the effect of the 3-point shot. But that was kind of like the commonality among those teams. You look at Golden State last year, top 10 effective field goal percentage. Milwaukee Bucks, the Lakers when they won. Like, you have to have that. You have to be able to shoot the three well, because once you're able to shoot the three well, it's going to open up the floor for your drivers, for your slashers to get easier buckets from two as well. So you have to have an efficient offense. And right now, the Knicks are top five in the league, period. But through these 9 games, they've been top 3 in effective field goal percentage. They've been top 3 in 3-point percentage and top 3 in field goal percentage. So I'm curious to see over the next 16 games, can they keep that up? Because if they can, mm-hmm. I think this team can make a deep run. If they can, they can definitely make a deep run. It's left to be seen. And defensively, you know, they're 15th in the pack. They're right there. They control the glass. They limit turnovers. They get after second chance opportunities. So even if they're not shooting the ball well, with Mitch, with Hart, with the effort that these guys play with, they're able to get after it on the boards. They should be able to shoot their free throws better. I think, Maria, they might need to hire you as a free throw coach.
Clearly.
You know, they need to shoot their free throws better.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I offered one free class, and then I gave them my rate. So wait on them to get back to me.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm glad you recognized.
Did you offer to CP, though?
Easy. But yeah, that's all I say. I just like to see if this offense is sustainable to play out the rest of the season. And if it is, I think they can make a case for a nice playoff run, man. I think they can make a case. And what do they need? I think we'll have to see after this run. We'll have to see after this run. I've always said that, yeah, I think they do need another star, but is that guy on the team? Is it Quick? Is it RJ? We're still waiting for Quentin Grimes to string together, you know, a couple dozen in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice, especially his shooting. We need his shooting. We need Grimes' shooting.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely need his shooting. I mean, you look at this season, the Knicks did most of their talent finding in-house. Outside of Brunson, outside of getting Josh Hart, it's been Quickly, it's been Grimes, RJ on some occasion. You've had Randall here, you know, Mitch. It's been everyone who they've either drafted who's been on this team through free agency in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it could be that the same as next season, right, where you find somebody else that takes that next step. Maybe it is Grimes. Maybe RJ finally puts together a complete season. We'll see. But with regards to three-point shooting, though, you know, when that Knicks team made it 2 seasons ago with Randall as, like, the only offense that we had that had any semblance of creating their own shot, the Knicks were 3rd in the league percentage-wise, shooting 39.2% from three. They were 27th in attempts, so they didn't shoot a lot, but they were very effective.
Right.
This season, since the beginning of the new year, the Knicks are in the middle of the pack. They're 14th right now shooting the three ball. So we should have some confidence. They're shooting 37%. It's above league average. They've been hot, man, from behind the arc. So it looks like they're getting their stuff together there, and you're going to need that space the four for guys like Brunson, RJ, Randall, Hart. So it's good that we're seeing that.
Yeah, definitely.
What's RJ shooting from three right now? Because I feel like he's kind of the odd man out in that.
From like from season or just like the last stretch of games?
The last stretch.
The last stretch.
Season's probably
might as well look at the last 10.
Yeah.
Last 10 games, RJ's been shooting. Where is it? He's shooting 34% from three over the last 10 games.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's got to improve. And it's got to be worse for the whole season. So that's got to improve. So when I think about what's missing, we've been shooting so well as a team. That would have been actually one of my things that I would have said we were missing. Is like that solid, consistent 3-and-D that we kind of thought Grimes was going to be, but he's been very quietly playing from the shadows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still hold out hope for RJ to find his his niche. I mean, you know, IQ found it and just came and blasted through the doors, and maybe RJ can too, but it's time. Like, time is ticking.
Yeah. And when you talk about RJ and you talk about Grimes, especially in the playoffs, when things slow down in the half court, Jalen and Julius are going to see a lot of attention, a lot of double teams. It's going to be up to those guys to knock down shots, because that's what teams are going to be banking on. You know, cut off Jalen, cut off Julius, let the rest of these guys beat us. So for RJ, he's got to start shooting the ball well. Grimes got to start shooting the ball well. We see Quickley's here, and that's why I feel like Quickley's going to get those closing minutes.
Yeah.
And look, Hart, right now, Hart, he's shooting well from three. I think he's shooting like 60% from three since he got here. Obviously, that's not sustainable.
Taking
but
as many, right.
Yeah, at least be league average, and we should be okay. So it'll be very interesting then. Very interesting.
Shooting 60%.
shooting damn near 60% from three. It's crazy.
It's just weird. It's just crazy to think to even see that number out there.
Yeah.
It's only on like 2.5 attempts, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. I see the rhyme animal Chuck D in the chat, man. Everybody throw hashtag PE in the chat. Salute to our legend. And yeah, man, rocking. Knicks Weekly episode 50 on deck. Let's get back to the phones, man. Hear what the people have to say. Let me find the phones real quick. I got a lot of tabs open. Here we go. Okay. Back to 516-761. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Shizzle from fucking Deer Park.
Oh, all right. You're out of here, man. It's a family show, buddy. It's a family show. The guy didn't even make it past the introduction.
Crazy.
Moving on.
Good screening skills.
Yeah, well, I got to do it myself tonight. We don't got Edgar, you know,
Knicks Weekly. Catch,
yeah, we operate a little bit lean on Knicks Weekly. You know, Edgar, we give Edgar the night off, and that's it. They try to cross me up every once in a while, but nah. We're waiting for it, pal. Didn't even make it past the introduction. Hey,
bouncer. CB in his bouncer bag right now.
This is a family show, people. If we don't know you like that, don't come calling here with the potty mouth. We're not going to have it, all right? We're not going to have that. If you don't know us like that, you got to slow down. Got to try to get
out
of
here. You know us like that. Not in the first, like, 2 seconds of saying, hi, how you doing? Let me drop an F-bomb real quick.
Well, we don't even know the guy, man.
Did you say for snizzle? Is that what he said?
I don't know, man.
It clearly wasn't going anywhere good.
No. Anyway, shout out to Ari in the chat. Shout out to Joseph Osorto. We don't need that. Yeah, we don't need that, man. We don't need that. To the Discord, man, I see Omar from the Bronx. Omar, if you can hear us, go ahead and unmute your mic.
Yo, what up? Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. How you feeling?
Yeah, that dude was bugging.
Yeah, he's bugging out.
Got me.
Bugging out.
Kind of loud. Anyway, nonetheless, show as always.
Yeah.
Listen, just quick points. First off, as we saw yesterday, I mean, yeah, I know we won the game, so we don't complain about it as much, even the Heat game. But Randle, as good as he's playing this year, he can't be the dude that's making the decision at the end of the game. I don't mind him taking a shot if he's open. But I don't want the ball in his hand to make a decision. That should be Brunson. That should be Quickley. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's multiple times, even dating back to the COVID year, where Randle, like, will have 15 seconds. He's just holding the ball for the entire time. There has to be a better quality shot, something to make the defense think a little bit. It's too predictable. So I don't think it's a knock on him. I think Tibbs is drawing it up that way. That's what it seems like, because everybody just kind of automatically defers to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he shouldn't be making the decision. Take the shot if he's open, but it should be in our ball handler's hands. Quickley, Brunson, that's going to come back to bite us in the playoffs. We keep doing that. And the second point, man, let's not underestimate these guys we got on the bench. Like, not the ones in the nine-man rotation. We're going to keep it that way for the playoffs. But Fournier, Rose, McBride, these guys can help us steal a game. I mean, if it's the playoff time and Grimes isn't hitting his shots, RJ's missing his threes, we can plug in Fournier, and if he's going nuts from three, which he has the capability to do. I mean, we saw it against Philly. We saw it last year against Boston. We could steal a game. I'm not saying put him in the rotation, right? Don't get me wrong. But if he goes in there, starts hitting his threes, that throws off the game plan for the defense of the other team. They probably weren't even game planning for that. So Fournier can help with that. McBride could go in there situationally. Maybe if, like, one of our guys is in foul trouble, be a pest on defense without worrying about fouling out or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Rose, finally, like the ultimate insurance policy. What other team has basically your third string point guard being a former league MVP, somebody who can come in and stabilize the game? I don't anticipate anybody getting shook this playoffs, but in case that happens, you know, you never know. They're not battle tested as we think. If that were to be the case, you got Rose in there. So yeah. I like where this team's at. We're loaded with assets. We're in a, you know, a good, in a good spot. And I think it's operation gets to the three seed, man. I don't think it's out of reach. Mm. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. On the Julius front, watching that game last night, yes, I did want to see quickly operating a little bit more with the ball in his hands in those late situations. But Julius is our guy. You know we're going to go to him. But it's on Tibbs to get him the ball in better spots, and it's on Julius to make better decisions. But without Brunson, I understood why things kind of broke down the way they did. He had seven turnovers. Well, look, star players are going to have turnovers when they're trying to make plays for the team. You just want them to be a little bit smarter. Like, when he turns his back, you know, we've seen this before over the last 2 years. Teams are going to go after him and force him to make those turnovers, and he did that last night. So he's got to make better decisions. He's got to anticipate those double teams, make quicker reads, pass the ball faster, and also I feel like it's on Tibbs to generate offense that allows Julius to succeed in those late-game situations. And then as far as the rotation, I just don't see Tibbs straying from that game plan. This group, since they made the nine-man rotation switch on December 4th, then they acquired Josh Hart at the deadline. This group is clicking right now. I just don't see a coach, even though Tibbs did make that adjustment, I'm just not sure if he'll throw those wrinkles in there at any given moment. So, I don't know. Maria, how you see it?
No, there's not a chance. It takes 20,000 people screaming, we want Derrick Rose for him for a few minutes when we're up 30 at the Garden. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's just not that caller wishful thinking. I love it. I love your optimism. It's not going to happen. That's not how Tibbs thinks. And I wouldn't for Fournier. It's like to throw him in the playoffs doesn't make any sense. There's been plenty of games throughout the season that I felt like he would have been useful to go in there when our shots weren't falling earlier, when our three-point percentage was looking nothing like this. And he was not given the shot. So if he was not given the shot in the regular season, there's no way Tibbs turns to him in the playoffs. In the playoffs, it's going to be what's out on the floor is out on the floor, and we're rolling with this product, and that's what it is. Deuce does not need any playoff minutes. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and Rose probably won't get them either. And Randall, I think earlier in the games, I think Randall's done a little bit of a better job this season getting out of those double teams. His decisions are a little bit quicker. It's not insta turnover anymore. But somehow at the end of the game, he's still more frazzled and it still leads to turnovers. But earlier on in the game, I have seen improvement there. It's just not that decision-making piece is still not there then, which is scary because then come playoff, pressure is increased. What does that mean is going to happen to your decision-making?
Maria, I agree with your point on the rotation. I would feel like if Fournier was more utilized in the rotation, like earlier on, if like he had a larger chunk and then, you know, it's like he was out due to injury. You then made the switch, like a new rotation, and then he's out because you got to rock with the new rotation, and that's what takes you to the playoffs. Then I could see a situation where Fournier gets back in there, but because Tibbs made the decision to take him out completely while he was healthy, I agree that I just don't see that type of change. And that goes with Derrick Rose. That goes with Deuce. I don't think we're going to get Sims minutes either, really, unless, you know, you got to break glass in case of emergency. So for the bench situation, for sure. For Randall, he's done a better job this season, as you know, like for double teams. But I just for him, I think it's also just exhaustion. Like he gets tired.
I thought he was gassed last night, bro.
He was gassed during Miami too. Even when he lost the ball and Jimmy couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And he puts up that three. You could just see that towards the end of the game, he didn't have enough lift on his legs. And for me, that comes back to where are you getting. How are you going to rest your players when it gets to playoff times? Because you don't need these guys to be gassed once the playoffs come. Like, I'm sure, like, yes, every player wants to be on the court. They want to get all their minutes in. But you as a coach, you as a training staff, have to realize that the bigger picture is making the run in the postseason rather than just trying to accumulate as many wins as you can right now and figuring out when to give your guys an extended run off the bench, right? So we got the Hornets next week. or this, I mean, was it tomorrow? So this should be an opportunity to get your bench a little bit more minutes.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a blowout game. You don't play Randall that much. Maybe you don't even give – you just rest Brunson. You know, he's questionable for tomorrow. Get Obi, get Deuce out there, get Sims out there. Make sure everyone's healthy because you want to see them in the playoffs. That's the big picture. So I want to see some of that.
I don't know, man. With one game in back of the Cavs, I don't see Tibbs doing anything in terms of load management. I see that a lot of the chatter right now on the social feeds are that, you know, fans want to see guys take a breather, especially Julius. You saw quickly logging 55 minutes on Sunday night's win against the Celtics. Brunson dealing with a foot injury. A lot of the fans are saying in a game like this against the Charlotte Hornets team, no LaMelo, they're in the tank mode. They're in the Victor sweepstakes. Go ahead and extend the rotation. Get the bench some run. I don't see Tibbs doing that, man.
No.
Unless you're in a blowout situation. But just as an overall strategy for the game, I don't see them doing it.
No, but it's like, you know, instead of having Randall play the entire first quarter, I don't know, with like 3 minutes left, let Obi get some run. You know, like, just put him in there. Randall's blogging a lot of minutes.
Obi got his typical 11 minutes in a double overtime game. You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
Oh, man.
In a 58-minute game, Obi gets 11. Got his average in a double overtime game. You know, you can't make it up. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Well, I mean, what do you guys think in the chat about this whole load management thing? Should the Knicks be resting some of their players or limiting or throttling down on the minutes in this final 16? What do you guys think in the chat? Leave some comments in the chat. Let us know. Shout out to Nick, who is celebrating his one-month anniversary with the franchise channel memberships. He just read up his membership. He says, Tibbs needs to help you with those spin moves. He spins right into the double team, but love how locked in he is. Yeah. I agree with that 100%, Nick. Definitely appreciate the comment and the commitment to Knicks Fan TV. Shout out to Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man. $10 Super Chat says, I don't fear anything in the playoffs except for game ones, which is new terrain. It's the only time I get OG cardiac, but we got to go through it. CP, Alex, and the Knicks chick who can hopefully coach them free throws before playoffs. Shout out to the OG. Maria, you like that comment, right? No,
I love it.
It's so good. Please.
Listen, got it. Shout out my boy Doc, who I know is watching, who gave me the nickname MK47. He blessed me with that nickname. So I have to live up to it and make sure my free throws live up to it.
I'll be back. I'll bounce back, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I just got to find a way, you know? I'm just in a little
maybe,
bit of a
maybe
slump.
No adult beverages next time.
That'll help. That'll help.
And then you turn the hat, and then there's no excuses. You
turn the hat.
No jacket.
Yeah.
No jacket. Hat. No beverage.
Straight water.
No excuses.
Yeah. That's it, man. You know.
Let's see what happens.
Go to LA Fitness.
Even though I'm doing it in heels with nails with adult beverage.
Listen, it's a little bit different. All right.
You go to LA Fitness the week of, you know, just put up a couple shots. Man.
I think I need to just do that. You know, I think I just got to do it, despite the bulletin doing it. Mel Gonzalez says, yes, CP, we need a rest. Randall, he needs rest. That's fair. Tibbs ain't doing it.
With the rest.
Tibbs ain't doing it. You know, Tibbs ain't doing it.
I could see in-game, like what Alex is talking about, like lessening the minutes, but I'm not a fan of load management. I feel like the NBA season was not designed for guys to take PTO days. Like, that's not how the game was set up. It's just not. It wasn't like 82, but you get 5 personal. Like, it's not. That's not what it was. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to take – if you need time, if you really can't – when we get to the playoffs, we're going to be conditioned because of this. But if you really need time, take it during practice. Go ahead and take practices off. And I'm not advocating for that either, but that at least makes more sense because there's nothing that can duplicate – a game experience. So the more of those you miss, the worse you do, and we will not be conditioned for the playoffs. There's no taking games off in the playoffs. So what are we setting ourselves up for? These guys these days they've lessened the amount of travel. They've lessened the amount of back-to-back games. When they travel in the most comfortable ways possible. You have you know, consistently upgraded technology in terms of the way that they're being handled, like their recovery and their training. So I just, like, you are a professional athlete. This is what you do. You can play 82.
Mm.
Alex is here tonight after a long night out. He made it to work. He made it to work. They can make it to work. It's fine. Like, in the long run, I just feel like that pays off. There's no, you don't get five personal and two sick. Like, you're here to play. You really are that exhausted. Convince Tibbs to sit you out of practice, get a practice pass or something. But game time is important.
Well, you see, CP is more of like a Pat Riley type of guy. You know, there's no days off.
No days
yeah.
off.
Yeah. That's like, you know, Tibbs is a workhorse, and that's why he appreciates guys like Quickly. That's why I'm sure he got all those minutes from his rookie season. You could tell he's a hard worker.
Yeah.
Yep. You know?
Put in the work now and it'll pay off later. That's like everything in life, right? Like that's for us and that's for them.
True.
Hard work in the beginning pays dividends. Like, yes, lessening the load. I remember I think it might've been the Heat game that we were like, why is Mitch still in this game so late in it when we're up? Like, yes, I understand that. Like, pull these guys out earlier, but resting for a whole game, I'm not with it.
Yeah. The resting for the whole game is just, it's gone. It's just off the chains. I mean, you're missing, like, there's players who are playing like around 60 games a season now. You know, it's not even, quote, it's not even 72, which I would say that's more acceptable than playing 60.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as Maria pointed out, it's just like, just in the game minutes, like when you got to figure out the teams that you're playing, right? Yeah. Like, you're playing the Hornets, you're playing, like, even when we play the Pistons, I'm just like, why is Randall playing 38 minutes as we're beating the brakes off these guys? There's no need for that. 30 would be nice.
Yeah, time will tell, but we'll need a good Julius with all his wheels by the time this team gets into the playoffs, man. So we'll see, and hopefully we get Brunson rested and ready, man, because that's one thing. Those guys go 100 miles an hour each game. They go hard. That's one thing you can't say. They don't play hard. So hopefully they make it there, man. Shout out to Brandon Guest. Brandon Guest drops a super chat. He says, will there be a KFTV event for playoffs round one? Yes, there will be, Brandon Guest. Stay tuned for that. You know, things are still early. Things are still moving. But we will definitely be doing so. So just stay tuned for that. Knicks Take Jake on the Discord. Knicks Take Jake. How you feeling, bro?
Feeling good, guys. Thank you guys for having me on. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all you guys.
Thank you.
Out there, KFTV land. Mm-hmm. Look, Alex, I hate to break it to you. The load management, the reduced minutes, not happening. CP's absolutely right. Think Jalen Brunson played 42 minutes on a back-to-back against Pistons earlier this season. It's just the way Tibbs is, man. It's unfortunate. But, you know, CP, I just want to say I haven't quite jumped out the window yet, so I'm with you. I got it open. There's a nice breeze. My friends are outside asking if I can come out and play. But, you know, I'm a little worried I'm going to scrape my knee if I jump out the window.
Right,
you know, Tom Thibodeau is a big deterrent for me. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm you know, based on what I'm seeing, the team is playing very well right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, but with that being said, last night the Knicks, they go into TD Garden. By the end of the game, looked like Olive Garden, all you can eat, endless pasta. And it sounds like they dropped another tonight. So, you know. It was reported the team stayed to get a lift session in, and, you know, based on IQ putting his shoulder in Jalen Brown's chest last night, let's say that's a pretty solid bet. But, I got a question for you guys. Yep. And, you know, I was listening to the IQ discourse. CP, if you remember during the Hart trade, I called in and, you know, IQ is my first concern. You know, the contract extension is a must for me. Mm-hmm. I think he's too important to this team. And I don't think he's a sixth man. Six men don't play like that against the second best team in the division, on the road. But my question is there an avenue for him to start and also maximize his skill set under this regime, or is there a possibility that later down the road, the Knicks are going to have to decide between Brunson or Quickly? I think that, you know, similar thing happened with the Kings with, you know, De'Aaron Fox and
Halliburton.
And Halliburton. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. I think they should pay the man. I'm out. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Always a good call, man. Definitely appreciate it. I think there's room for Quick in that starting rotation. As I said, you just never know how this team is going to look, right? Let's say, and I hate to play the fantasy game, but some of these fans like that. Let's say Harden goes to Houston. And Embiid goes to Morey and says, look, I'm not here for another process. I got to get up out of here. And Leon calls Morey up. Hey, maybe the Knicks trade RJ and Grimes and Obi and 100,000 picks to go get Embiid. Maybe it's quickly in that package. Who knows? You know, for a guy of that caliber, the way Quickly's playing, he might be a guy that you might have to part with. Well, all I'm saying is there is a possibility there. And maybe you get an IQ at the two to play with Brunson in the backcourt. I don't think I think that's plausible.
Honestly, to me, it reminds me of the vision that they had in Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went and got, you know, right? Well, they didn't get Trae Young. They've had Trae Young. They go out and get DeJounte Murray. He's known for being a two-way guard. I think Emmanuel Quickly, the way that he's playing defense, man,
yeah,
the fit is there. Now, is the opportunity there for the ball handling, the, you know, running the offense, you know, the sharing of that responsibility there in a Tom Thibodeau run system with Randall, with RJ?
Yeah,
I don't know. You got to be creative there. We don't have the most creative head coach, but just my thoughts. Thank you again, guys. Appreciate it.
That's fair. Appreciate that. Maria, what were you saying?
Oh, that I can't see him taking Brunson's spot. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't see that.
At all see how that's an option.
Yeah.
You want to talk about them playing next to each other? That's another conversation that I still don't love. But there's no way he's taking Brunson's spot. That's not a conversation.
Now,
I could see the IQ Brunson backcourt starting. I mean, we're seeing it close games.
Yeah.
I don't really think they're like, if you did get an Embiid and you made that type of trade, right? And then you give Quick the opportunity. Probably RJ goes in that deal because you have to match the money somehow. Yeah. But then I could still see enough playmaking between Brunson and IQ on the court. Like, I don't really think that's an issue. I think that's really why they have IQ out there to begin with, not only for his defense, but
yes,
last time when the Celtics played, when the Knicks played in Boston, and you saw it was just Brunson, there's no IQ on the court, and there's just, they knew that they could double team Brunson. There was nobody else to be that guard on ball to facilitate, and that's the other reason why he's out there. It's someone else that could bring up the ball,
right,
control it. So I don't see that being an issue. I think it's just construction of this team moving forward, which it'll just be difficult. You know, that's how you think, right? Like, when you have good players, you want to keep them. And it's just how do you design that team to keep them, and who do you get rid of, right? You just paid RJ this offseason. Is the team thinking about moving off from him to make space for Quick? And then you're going to slide Grimes down. Like, this is everything,
yeah,
that they got to be thinking of.
Do they look at a Levine? You know, I'm not a Levine guy, but do they look that way?
To go where?
What do you mean? You never know. The rumors were there, this trade deadline.
To play what, the two or the three?
Maybe the three.
Hmm.
All I'm saying is, who knows? With RJ, Quick, and Grimes, and this front office's ability or need to upgrade this roster, if they feel like it, one or two of those guys might be expendable. That's all I'm saying. One or two of those guys may be expendable. I don't know. Maybe it's a B, maybe it's a V, maybe it's a guy who we're not thinking about. But down the road, I think that's a plausible scenario.
Why are we fast-forwarding to down the road where things don't work out and we have to trade
that
someone?
That was Jake's question.
Enjoy.
That was Jake's question.
I think we'll learn a lot after the playoffs, though, right? We'll learn,
yeah,
a lot about everyone's potential, everybody's capacity, how they operate under the bright lights. We're going to know a lot more once we let ourselves enjoy the playoffs and see what we're working with and what we're really missing. You don't know what you're missing until you see what's missing in the postseason.
People say,
right? Because if you looked at us the year that we were fourth seed, you wouldn't think a lot was missing. And then it's glaring, right? I mean, you always knew you needed a point guard upgrade, but it was just so much more glaring that it couldn't be Julius doing that role in the playoffs. So let's wait and see and enjoy this. We're waiting outside the window for him, me and Oz. We got a trampoline for him.
me and Jake are chilling. It's cautious optimism, people. Cautious
optimism. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got to do what you do with your whole heart. You can't have to do it.
Cautious optimism, man.
Although I gotta ask you. Yeah. You said, clearly you put some thought into the Embiid trade. You clearly have.
Look,
but I want to know, how did you think of RJ, Grimes, and Obi, and yet we're gonna have Embiid and Mitch on the same
team? Listen, Mitch will be gone too, man. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm talking about the two guys in your guard rotation, right? That Jake wants to see quickly in the starting unit, right? So either RJ has to go, Grimes has to go, a combination of the two. If you're going to get a player like Embiid, you probably have to put both in there. You know, that's just the beginnings of the framework. Obviously, Mitch would have to be in there as well.
I thought you just wanted to see two centers on the
court. No. 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 Absolutely not.
Then I think our three-point percentage would really be superb at that point.
Yes.
I thought CP's vision was, you know, Randall at the three, Embiid at the four, Mitch at the five.
but Al, you saw Mitch when he put the ball on the floor at TD Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Was that in front of you, or were you on the other side of the court? Where were you sitting?
That was in front of me.
What was your vantage point?
That was in front of me. Check the IG reel. Check the IG reel. I caught that. I was like, what?
We did get that on the IG reel. That's right. Yeah. We did.
I was shocked. I was like, okay. It's funny hearing I gotta say this too. Being in TD Garden and like hearing Celtics fans, like, I know Knicks fans, like, we're in tune with everyone around the league. We're like, oh, we know where this guy came from, that guy came from, we know what team they've been through. Got people behind me like, yo, where did this Mitchell Robinson kid come from? And I'm like, oh my God. The best one was this. Yo, I really like that kid Quickly. I think he played at St. John's. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's funny.
You all focus on your team way too much.
Yeah. That's funny, man. That is funny. Shout out to Beantown. Not really, but good job by Al being in there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's take a look at the week ahead, man. This week, Knicks start off with the Hornets on Tuesday, then a big, big matchup. I'm looking forward to this one. Against the Sacramento Kings in Sactown on Thursday, and then a back-to-back at the Crypto.com Arena, man, at Clippers, 4 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday, then at the LeBron-less Lakers, but against a ferocious Anthony Davis and company, 9 o'clock on Sunday to close out the week. Maria, what's your prediction? And what is
4-0,
some, what
4-0,
is, what
4-0.
Is, what is some of your thoughts this week?
I mean, the Hornets are doing everything they can to lose, right?
Yeah.
So that should be a win at their hands, not ours. Mm-hmm. Obviously, anything's possible, but hopefully that's an easy one. It'll be interesting to see if anyone does rest. I can go with a realistic 3-1, but I really think that we can win all four of these games. The Lakers and the Clippers, if I'm not mistaken, we lost to both of those in overtime this year, right? Those are both tight games.
Mm-hmm.
But Mitch wasn't playing when we played them last. So that's
correct.
Right? For both of them. Yeah. So that's a difference maker. So I think Mitch back, the heart effect was not yet in effect.
Yep.
So we do have an upgraded team since the last time we played them. Anthony Davis is on a tear, but he's the only one that's on a tear. So, you know, if we don't double team a lot, if ever, but if we can game plan towards Anthony Davis, it'll be a good way to answer my question about what on earth will we do with Giannis, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we can take the LA teams, given that we forced them to go to overtime without our best defender and our big man. And then we got the Kings. The Clippers, though, I will say Eric Gordon has had like a resurgence going over there, and Russell Westbrook, like they're coming too. So they're gelling, even though they haven't won. I think they've only won like one out of their last five games, but they're gelling with those two. And then the Kings will be probably the toughest matchup, honestly.
Yeah.
out of all those.
Kings up by damn near 20 on the Pelicans right now in the fourth quarter. Yeah,
they're balling out. But I'm not saying we're losing any of these games. I think we've literally gotten better every game in these past nine, and we've won the games in such different ways at the hands of so many different players. You never know when RJ is going to step up. So I'm going to sweep. I'm going 4-0 in the West.
4-0, says the lady. Al, how you feeling?
Woo!
I'm going to be all over the place on how I'm working this thing, but Hornets, I agree that I think we should win that one. I think we take down the Lakers. No Bron, just AD. I think we got our revenge. Clippers, I don't even know who's going to be playing that day. Is Kawhi taking off? PG taking off?
Don't look like these days, man. The Claw is killing. Claw is terrorizing everybody right now.
Well, I saw PG start his new podcast, so maybe he'll take a day off. Who knows? But anyway, I'm going to go. I like what Maria said. We didn't have Mitch when we faced both those teams. I like that. I think we get both revenge. That I think the Kings game. I'm actually going to go with Maria with 4-0 because you know Randall's going to step up for Sabonis.
Yeah, he takes that personally.
The Sabonis effect is real. So
yeah,
I'm going to go 4-0 on the week as well.
Let's go.
This win streak keeps going.
I love it.
Okay. So it's on me now. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Ruin it.
stay inside. Don't jump out the window.
Ah, man. All right. I'm going 3-1. I'm going 3-1. I think the Clippers one is a tough one. Sacramento is going to be tough, but as you said, I think Randall gets up for that one, and they have enough to beat this team even without Brunson. I think the Clipper one is a little bit tougher with Kawhi and Paul George, especially the way Kawhi is playing. They don't put a lot of pressure on our wings. That's RJ, that's Grimes to start off. That's hard as well. I think there's tough. That Clippers team is deep. And as Maria said, even though they haven't won a lot since their trade, since their upgrades, it's a deep team. Plumlee's an upgrade at the five. You have Eric Gordon. You have Brody. Kawhi Leonard is playing as good as anybody in the league right now. PG. I think that's a tough one. With Nicholas Batum being that wild card for them, they can play big. They can play small. It's a tough matchup for us. We should have won that game when we played him at MSG, but I just think it is a tough matchup to play on the road, and I think that's potentially where the loss can come from. We could beat the Lakers. Charlotte's shouldn't be a problem unless they just completely sleepwalk through that game.
You never, maybe V comes back for a revenge game. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So I'm going 3-1. I'm going 3-1, man. What do you guys in the chat think? Leave us your predictions. What will the Knicks do this week, man? Charlotte, at home against Charlotte, at the Kings, at the Clippers, at the Lakers. Knicks right now, 12 games over 500, ladies and gentlemen. Who are these guys? What do you guys think in the chat, man? Leave us a comment. Oh, TM did put the poll up in the chat. So let's go ahead and get a vote. Well, great show, man. Absolutely great show. Shout out to A-Law. Lawsy says, quickly idolizes Lou Williams. I think he'll happily take the six-man closer role for something like 3 years, $65 million. And speaking of six-man, shout out to, this guy sent me this earlier, shout out to Sam McQuillan. Emmanuel quickly, six man of the year odds have improved dramatically over time. And after last night's heroics, he's now the favorite. According to PointsBet USA, he's now the favorite to win the six man of the year award. Back in November 17th, he was a plus 50,000. February 27th, plus 25,000. February 24th, plus 10,000. February 28th, plus 1,500. March 2nd, plus 600. March 3rd, plus 175. And now he's a minus 125 as the favorite to win it. Let's see what happens, Ben. Shout out to Khalil Smalling. Says, I love this Knicks team, but thinking about the playoffs, what are some open questions for this team in determining if they make a postseason run? Well, I would say health, their ability to shoot the ball efficiently. You know, who's going to bail out Brunson and Randle if they get into trouble? Will the isolation-heavy offense hurt this team? You know, as much as this offense is clicking, it's so interesting because they're almost dead last in almost every passing category. assist to field goals made, passing, but they get the job done. They Crazy. Get the job done. They target their mismatches on the pick and roll. They let Brunson and Julius do their thing off of those mismatches. They get out in transition. They get second chance opportunities. They limit mistakes. You know, so I think health, shooting, how well they can move the ball against stingy playoff defenses, the Mitchell Robinson impact, a healthy Mitch as well. Those are some of my questions. I know, Maria, Al, if you guys have anything to add on top of that.
This team is just such a throwback. The way they play with ISO basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're getting it done. Yeah, like you said, we're getting it done, though. So however it gets done, they keep winning and they're having fun doing it. We're all having fun watching. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me make sure I didn't miss any more super chats. The chat is voting, and the chat says 3-1. 60% say the Knicks will go 3-1 this week. All right. Let's see. Any more super chats? Let's see. Jay Boogie's on the line. Let's okay, hold on. Let's see. Okay, no longer on the line. All right, man. Just call back in tomorrow. Remember, we'll be back tomorrow, man. Knicks versus the Hornets. Check in. We're not sure if JD's going to be doing play-by-play, man, but we'll be back for Knicks post-game live, man. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. Maria, great job on your first day on the job. Al, welcome back. And yeah, man, salute to everybody, man. Great show. Remember that this show is available in audio podcast format as well. No reason to miss it. If you miss it on video, you could always catch it on audio. Support our sponsors, man. Go to manscaped.com, enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. And also go to prizepicks.com and enter promo code KFTV for an instant deposit match of up to $100. All right. We out of here, man. Peace. Okay. All right.
I always wondered how long you held up your peace sign for.
Because it's on a little bit of a delay, so it's got to be, it looks a little weird on your end. It looks a little crazy. It's on a little bit of a delay. Let me turn this off. Hang on. All right. Let me turn this off.